This is the Mason Holdings Radio Hour, and I'm Tracy Weller. Volume 2, Episode 1. The Kind of Man to Marry. March 18th, 1926. Juliet says I am living in a shed in Louise's mother's garden. A garden that is really just a swamp. She says I will be eaten alive by mosquitoes if I do not demand a real house, and yard, and bed, and kitchen, and sink. It is true the yard is somehow both dusty and swampy, and I am coughing and coughing the pollen from the red hibiscus. But I am sewing checked curtains from the fabric Juliet's mother gave me as a wedding present, and Louise says he could whitewash the walls and floors, maybe. It is our little house, or maybe just a shed, but I love to open the door when I see him coming. Or just stand in the yard waiting to welcome him home. My heart races when he is late and it is already dark. But I think now he will always come home to me. I say to myself he has to come home to me because he is my husband. But why, really, is he my husband? I am always asking. I should not even think it, I know. It is not good for the baby for me to think these things. When I think that maybe he was just trapped by me and the baby, the thought is such a heavy weight I cannot move. You were not chosen, Elena. No one chose you. Those thoughts, I wish to God in heaven he would lift them from me. So long as we are living in his parents' yard, and I am cooking dinner with his mother, and I am giving him his child, and he does not lose his job, I do not need to be afraid. Do not be afraid, Elena. Do not be afraid. I should think only that. Mother is crocheting a blanket and smiles hugely now when she sees me. I am heavier and hot, but I do feel light when I think of holding my little boy. I imagine both of us with wings, taking secret flights up to the clouds when we dream of our future. Juliet's mother has given me 3 patterns I will use for sewing his clothes. I have very fine cotton fabric, so everyone will know our child is perfectly cared for and loved. Florinda twists her mouth, as she does, and says I do not know if my child will be a boy. But Luis is certain. To prove it, he pulled out a strand of my hair and hung my ring over my belly. The ring swayed side to side, just as he said it would. I have always known that Luis must have a boy. And Luis says he knows how it is done if you want to be sure you have a son. And he says he made sure of that. I try to escape my dark thoughts by thinking of the practical, happy matters. But so often the dangerous questions stand beside me like ghosts and will not leave. I do wish for answers, but only if the answers are that he wanted to marry me and wanted me to have his child. That this life, exactly as it is now, was always his dream. It is dangerous to doubt one's husband, Auntie says. Women who doubt and think dark thoughts deliver dead babies. and she has seen wicked women deliver babies with short tails. I do not believe that, but I am also scared to doubt anything or think any wrong thoughts. What thoughts should fill my mind? I try to gather the right thoughts to occupy me, but it is so hard not to wander into fear, especially when Luis is late and his mother turns to stone, staring at me and pinning us all to the table as we silently wait. It is not my fault that he is late, but she looks at me with punishing eyes to tell me that I am the problem. And now, I worry that I am writing too much that may not be true. Maybe my feeble mind is just making lies to fill the time. God, please hear me. I do not doubt my Luis. I do not. In my truest heart, I do not. But when I am too idle, my mind grows restless and starts playing tricks. Auntie says that pregnancy makes women very dumb, and the loose ones often go mad because the devil can just slip right in. When Juliet heard this, she told me that superstitious, meddling aunties grow little horns between their legs, one in the front and one in the back. This made us both laugh and laugh, just as if we were girls again. March 31st, 1926. I am sewing all day. Little shirts from the pattern Juliet's mother sent along. Sewing and sewing and banishing all the other thoughts. There is only needle and thread. Needle and thread and new dresses. Fat dresses for me and tiny crochet booties for the baby. And mother says I must use special soap for cleaning. But I am never to sit in bath water or the baby will get dirty. And I must have a tiny cup of rum when my legs are restless and will not sleep, and a bit of oil to rub to make it easier when it comes. And when it comes, a wet cloth to bite so I do not invite demons. And I drink Auntie's broth every day, every single day, because the saltiest pork broth will make the baby grow. That is what she says. All these little things should fill my mind and keep me from wringing my hands. Needle and thread, washing with soap, and needle and thread, and booties and rum, drop on the floor in a teaspoon in a tiny cup, and broth and broth and broth every day, every single day. Lists and lists, lists of things, of all the little things to remember, squeezing out all the things to forget. I will not worry or think of anything at all, but needles and thread and all these busy little items that fill the days and weeks to come. And then, finally, I will see my baby. April 10th, 1926. Today I was hanging the wash, and as soon as I reached up to hang Luisa's shirt, Florinda popped her head out from behind the shed and told me I would strangle the baby by putting my arms above my head like that. But I had already hung nearly the entire line. She also warned me again about bathing and rocking chairs. I have not sat in any water. I only wash myself limb by limb and do not let any dirty water in, and only use the special soap from Auntie. And I am wearing the azabache on my wrist every day, and Auntie says that will ward off the evil eye and other trouble. Luis says this is all nonsense, and Juliet says I must go to the hospital, especially with my coughing, and if not now, then at least when it is time. But mother says they cut you open there and shave off all your hair and put you into a sleep that will make you crazy. Florinda did not leave, and, God forgive me, I wanted her to. But then she pulled a bottle of new grape from her purse and said she would share it with me. She knows this is my favorite in the world. And suddenly I felt I would cry for all my love of her. She has always taken what is mine and hunted for gossip to hold like a knife. But today she was generous, and we sat on the porch at the big house, drinking the new grape. And I felt so fine and well and better than I have for such a long time. Dear God, please let Florinda find a husband, and please let it happen soon, before it is too late. Little Celia will be fine, but please, you must help us to take care of Florinda. She makes her faces and tells everyone secrets, but her heart is good, and she will be kind and happy when she is married. Perhaps if she stays away from poisonous Prudencia, she will flower and her luck will change. April 18th, 1926. Juliet says her father says that we will all be in very bad trouble soon. He says that the railroad was only for rich people and bad enough. But now the big road will bring more blancos and their skinny cigarettes and lies, and all the cigar factories will be forced to close. He said the blancos have left us with roads to nowhere and banks with no money. Juliet says he was spitting and cursing so that her mother had to hit him on the head with a wooden spoon to shut his mouth. When Luis came home, I asked him if all this was true. But he just shrugged his shoulders and told me to think of something useful. I am always trying to think of something useful. Do something useful. It is always better not to ask questions, it seems. April 22nd, 1926. I was sick with worry for Luis and could not sleep all night. I went to see Juliet, and she says her father is drunk half the time now, and Gatto's let him go because he could barely roll 20 cigars a day, while the young ones like Luis are rolling nearly 500. I do not know if this is true, but I could not help but smile with pride for my Luis. Perhaps I should have cried for Juliet and her fool of a father who can do nothing but play dominoes and drink and spit. But sweet, strong Juliet says she is happy to work at Faustino Costillo's beautiful new food market, which she says is actually not even a market, but a food palace. We both laughed at this. Castillo was just a torcedor like Luis, but he will be the most successful man in Key West, she says. And he is the kind of man to marry. I heard her words so clearly. He is the kind of man to marry. I felt dizzy, and Juliet walked me home.